Hey, welcome everybody. Mark Edward Davis here. This is a guy's night. We are talking football. Super Bowl was just 2 days ago, and I had to do this. I came away from that game watching so many things. I thought, you know, there's some lessons here I wanted to get into for life. And so when I made the announcement that tonight's webinar would be on life lessons learned from Super Bowl 50, I had some guys going, Mark, you may be stretching it here. So hang on. We'll find out by the end of this time if I am or not. But I got to tell you, for those of you who are new, and God bless all of you, we had guys chiming in from all over the world, different parts of the U.S., Canada, and Latin America, Europe, and Asia, Australia, even Asia. So glad you guys are all on board. And Dream Connections is a company dedicated to helping create international marriages, literally multinational marriages, connecting you with, if you believe your future wife, your half could be from another culture, another country. We want to sincerely help the right people get together, and we've been very successful at it. So what has this got to do with football? Well, first of all, you know, I'm a guy, okay, and I'm a men's coach, and all of us on here are guys, and so I figured, you know what, let's have a guy's night. And I actually found some stuff I think that'll relate. So let me go through it tonight. We're going to have a little bit of fun. I got my little my sports drink going on here and a little bit of coffee. Hope you guys are ready. We're going to have a good time. So let me go through this. Let's kick it off and see if I can connect some dots you wouldn't have seen. All right. Welcome. Life Lessons from Super Bowl 50, Dream Connections. And here's the overview for tonight. First of all, I'm going to talk about expectations and performance leading up to this big game. I'm going to do a commercial break. That's right. Hey, it wouldn't be a Super Bowl show if we didn't have a commercial break. We can talk about the mental state of the two quarterbacks. I've got an NFL game summary and post-game comments that I want to review from Cam and from Von Miller, who is the Super Bowl MVP. And then finally, of course, I've got to do it, cheerleaders. I've got photos, cheerleaders from all the places we go in Ukraine, Colombia, and Thailand. So I hope you enjoy. Hang on, and let's go through this Super Bowl wrap-up. First of all, I want to talk about this. This is interesting. This was mentioned during the game, but I found an article that was actually published a week before the game with this subject line. As the Carolina Panthers prepare for Super Bowl 50, here's a look at the fates of the six previous teams that had won at least 15 games in the regular season. Now, let me explain for a minute for those outside of the United States who haven't been following. The Carolina Panthers have sort of been the sweetheart team this year, the Cinderella story, the team that nobody knows who these guys are. This quarterback who, although in the U.S. he's known for being the Heisman Trophy winner, most people, you know, he's not a Joe Montana name yet. They don't know who this guy is. And they had a fun season. They had the most incredible, fun, exhilarating season. They won 15 out of 16 of their games. And honestly, they would have won the other 16th game, too, if there wasn't a personal foul that they drew on themselves, which gave the other team the opportunity for the go-ahead. But, you know, it was fun to watch them. They were like kids. They were like, if you remember in basketball in the old days, there was the Harlem Globetrotters. And the guys were so good. They were just playing with the other teams. It wasn't even fair. They were just teasing them. And that's the way they were this year. The Carolina Panthers would just have so much fun. And their quarterback was so athletic. I mean, he ran as much as he threw, and his athleticism and his accuracy and the way they came together as a team, it was wonderful to watch, and I was rooting for him. I mean, my team wasn't in the Super Bowl, so I chose to root for them, and I had this expectation of how they'd perform. But I saw this historical statistic, and on the Super Bowl, on the screen, they said there were four other teams who made it to the Super Bowl who had won 15 games or more, and they talked about their fate, because you would have thought a team that had been that much on a steamroll, they all would have won the Super Bowl. I mean, they're winning everything, right? Well, it's interesting. Here's some of the history in playback. First of all, of course, we know the game that just happened on Sunday with the Carolina Panthers. They went 15 wins, one loss, and yet they lost the Super Bowl. So let's see who else was in this crowd of that many wins. In 1984, the San Francisco 49ers also went 15-1. They did win over the Miami Dolphins. Okay. In 1985, the Chicago Bears also went 15-1, and they won the Super Bowl over the Patriots. All right, that's two so far. This is an interesting one. 1998, the Vikings also went 15-1. They lose a playoff game by a missed kick. Now, this is the interesting part, because this kicker had, in this year, made a name for himself. He set an NFL record. He literally went an entire season and never missed a kick. So the incredible irony was these guys would lose in the playoffs. They didn't even get to go to the Super Bowl after such an amazing year because he missed a kick. It was like so disappointing for the Viking fans. Another one here, 2004, the Pittsburgh Steelers were 15-1, but they lost to the Patriots in a playoff game. And then here's the one that just breaks my heart still to this day. The New England Patriots won every game in their season. They went 16-0, and yet they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, and it breaks my heart. You wanted to finally see somebody else win the perfect season other than the early 70s Miami Dolphins. And it was really a shame. And there's part of the psychology of this I'm going to touch on in a minute here if I can. So I want to talk about the lesson that I take away from this game about staying humble and hungry. I look at the games, like specifically this Sunday's Carolina Panthers game and that game of the New England Patriots when they won every single game all year long and they were crushing it. And they had the best quarterback, they had the best team, everything was running on sync. But if you watch that Super Bowl and the one just this last Sunday, you were scratching your head. You're going like, we watched these guys win everything. They crushed everybody. They worked like a machine. They were in synchronization. And the quarterback was so accurate. And in both of these Super Bowls, you watched a team, you're going, this isn't even the same team. How come they're just miscuing? Why are they stumbling over themselves? Where's the big offensive power that they've been all year long? What happened? What's going on? And specifically this last weekend with the Carolina Panthers, not only did they not play at the level they had all year long, but worse, they actually set records for some of the worst mistakes made by any team in a Super Bowl. And it was just scratching your head going, what happened? We were expecting so much more of a game out of this competition. And the Denver Broncos, who won on Sunday, came through and just really did. They just played a very solid game and won football. And it wasn't just that the Denver Broncos played that great. I mean, great. Granted, they did. They won the Super Bowl. I mean, God bless them. But there were so many times when the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, he was just missing passes. There was a couple of long balls that you know he just overthrew that would have been fantastic game-changing passes, and a bunch of even close ones where the guy just did a simple out route and he was 10 yards away and he threw it way in front of him so he couldn't have caught it. How does he get so far out of his game? And I want to propose a thought to you. And this thought is this: when you are now in a place where, let's say, like these two teams, where all year long they'd been winning. They'd been winning, winning, winning. And you get to this Super Bowl thing, which is a party. I mean, it is an all-round party. Everybody parties. They're celebrating. They're doing interviews. They're celebrities. They all of a sudden go from football players to rock stars. You know what I mean? It's just incredible the way they elevate them. And they've been winning all year. So, of course, they're being praised. They were expected. The New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers were both expected to win by all the pundits, by the odds margins were given to both teams to win the game. And I kind of wonder if there's an aspect of where they came into this a little too casual, thinking, well, of course we're going to win. And this attitude of like, even if we get behind, we have enough, we'll pull it out and we'll win because that's who we are. And I remember the two seasons where Jimmy Johnson was the Super Bowl head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. And I remember Troy Aikman talking about how the week leading up to the Super Bowl, that it was not like any other team. Most of the teams, they do all these media events, the guys are celebrating, they're excited, they build this energy up, and they're all... And Jimmy Johnson was, no, these guys were shut down, they had a curfew, they had to get in bed at certain times, they limited their media exposure, and they focused them on drills and drills and drills. Even though the Cowboys of those 2 years had crushed the opponents, and they'd done an amazing job, the second Super Bowl that year, Emmitt Smith had set the record for the most rushing touchdowns in a year, and they were just a dominating team, and yet they didn't take it for granted. When it came to the big game, they realized that, you know what, there is a possibility we could lose. even though we've done this well up to here, you have to account for the fact that the other team comes more aggressive, because for the other team, who's not expected to win, they have nothing to lose. They're going to come in like animals to eat your lunch, and it's going to be more ferocious than any attack you'd had all year, because it is the big game and they got nothing to prove, nothing to lose. And so I remember the Cowboys of those two games were so deliberate in their discipline, their focus, and of course they won those Super Bowls in very big fashion. And it just makes me wonder if in these two games with Cam Newton and then the New England Patriots, if they had been reading their own press clippings and writing their coattails. Okay, so now why do I bring this up? Because this is one of my pet peeves that I've had, and I've only had a few guys do this on my tour, so most of the guys, you know, don't come this way. But I want to understand, you understand, I have had guys on my tours. So many of our men are successful in many areas, every other area of their life. Now, we've had guys from all gambits, okay? We've had guys come on our Quest tours to meet a potential future wife overseas who made less than $50,000 a year, lived in a one-bedroom apartment, found their wife, they're married today, and living in a two-bedroom apartment. You know, but they're happy. It doesn't matter. But the trend is with many, many men that they find success in every other area of life. But this aspect of finding a successful dating life partner relationship eludes them, and it's frustrating to them. But what they do is they carry the confidence and the energy they had from all the other areas of their life they win. They bring it in here. You know, even though they haven't won in this arena, they're bringing in an undue amount of overconfidence where they're not hungry to try to learn and grow, and they're not being humble. They're not saying, maybe you should teach me something because I've obviously not gotten this down. Instead, what happens is some of these guys have already been overseas before, and they come to me with the side and goes, look, Mark, you know, I've traveled, I've done this, I know these people, I know this country, I've been here before, you know, on my own. And it's like, just show me the girls, you know, I can do the rest from here. And this subtle little arrogance that goes into there. Why? Well, because every other area of their life, their praise and their worship, their CEOs, their successful entrepreneurs, their movie stars. Trust me, I've had movie stars, I've had multimillionaires all come on my tours. And you know, the sad part is these guys should be the 100% success stories. They should be the ones where they all come home with a beauty queen because they've got all the money, they've got star power, they have all this stuff. And yet so many times these guys don't. They go home empty-handed and they don't understand why. You know, how does the little pudgy, happy, you know, real estate sales guy from Canada come home with a beauty queen and they end up with nothing? How does that even make sense, right? And there's an attitude that goes into the whole experience. The attitude and teachability is just vital for your success here. So at some point, you know, you have to be humble enough to say, well, okay, well, look, Mark, you've obviously got what I want. I'm open. Just teach me. You know, and I give training videos and stuff. We do interviews. We do a lot of background work for our guys before they come. But we want them to have an open heart, an open attitude, an open mind to be able to listen to us, because we actually do this. We are actually the experts in this, and we have a lot of success. And if you could listen to us and come with a different approach, these guys would be much more successful. But here's the problem. Back at home, they're frustrated, you know, because, and I could tell you the stories. I've got guys who lived in a high-rise Manhattan overlooking the Hudson, you know, and the Statue of Liberty's one side, and the, you know, all that's right out their window. And so as soon as they start dating a girl, as soon as she sees where he lives, the lifestyle he has, the kind of people he knows, immediately she's no longer dating him. She's dating this lifestyle she wants to be absorbed into. And so she's, what else you got? Who else do you know? And it's heartbreaking to them. The guy who's got a lot of money, as soon as the girl finds out he's got money or a fast car, she's like, what else is in this for me? I won the lottery ticket. What else is in here? And then he's so deep in loneliness because she realizes they're not dating him anymore. Well, what we do is the great equalizer. You're there right next to the guy making $35,000 a year and making $350,000 a year. And the girls don't judge that way. They don't care. It's how fun you are to be around, how charming you are, your personality. And it's not about an overconfidence. It's about a zone of really great energy that's fun and you love your life, you're comfortable. And the irony here is I have so many guys who come on a tour and they will say, you know, Mark, hey, if I end up on the plane going home and just have had a great time and enjoyed this entire James Bond-like experience, it would have been just so worth it for me and what I needed and life-changing. And it's because they take that pressure off themselves and they just purely enjoy the people, the surroundings, everything that goes on, that these guys end up succeeding and they all find wives. And the guys who are the multimillionaires and the movie stars go back home going like, You know, but it's hard. It's hard for me to explain it to them when all week long I'm getting this little arrogant attitude of like, Mark, dude, okay, I've traveled. I know this drill. You can't, you know, dude, I've been doing this a long time. Okay, just show me the girls. And honestly, if a guy maintains that attitude, he's probably not going to get through the second or third interview. At some point, he's got to be able to say, look, you guys have obviously done this before. You know, just show me what you do differently. And I just want to try your system out and go with our system. So that's one of my things I took away from this, because I really truly believe there's a little bit of an expectation that Carolina Panthers brought in. Hey, we've won all these other battles. Even when we were behind, we were able to make it come out. And they didn't take it so seriously, the thought that they could lose. And they needed to take this really seriously, because what are the chances you're going to be back at a Super Bowl again? Instead, they're enjoying the media attention and the praise and the notoriety, and the stuff is so ego building and so filling. It's such a temporary feeling. I'm telling you right now, if Cam Newton had sat alone on a practice field with not a single camera interview on him for a week leading up to the Super Bowl, in complete isolation, no party, no celebration, no interview, but he got to win the Super Bowl, he would take that any day of the week. You know, but we don't think about that in the moment. You know, everybody else is celebrating our greatness. We read our own press clippings. And it's time to adjust and make the shift. All right. Now, before we go on, guess what we have? I've got a commercial break for you. So let's, like any good Super Bowl program goes, let's take a minute for a great commercial break from our dream ladies. All right, and welcome back. Was that awesome? I'm telling you, I am so proud of them. They are champions. They are certainly our dream ladies, and what they produce for us and for you guys to help you win is remarkable, and I'm glad to share this new commercial with you. All right, let's continue on. I want to talk about the mental state then of both of these quarterbacks here. I've been watching quotes and looking at quotes from both of these guys, and the thing that was interesting to Peyton Manning, somebody has been spreading through Facebook one of these things about how at night, you know, Manning, he spends time in prayer, you know, and he has his own time. He says, you know, what I say to God is my own business, but he says, I'm humble and I respect where I'm at and grateful for the opportunity because I know how hard it is to get here. And it was like 8 years since the last time he was here. But even harder, most quarterbacks never get there. So it was an interesting thing. And on the other side, I saw these screenshots from Cam Newton. And this is a week before the Super Bowl. He's got a Superman thing on. He is the man. He is the man. And everybody's loving on him. There it is. You know, Panthers, fourth team to finish 15-1 or better and reach the Super Bowl, you know. And boom, loving all this stuff. But here's the thing that I was really shocked at. I know you guys feel the same way. I'm not telling you a thing you don't already know. But this is him before the Super Bowl. And then after they lose, this is what he looked like. And there's such a huge disconnect from this to this. And I really account it to his youth and immaturity in this particular case. And I love the guy. I hope he does very well. He's got a great career ahead of him. You know, I think he'll do well. But you can't just wallow in this. And especially in this particular case, you're a public figure. You need to give more gracious lines. Because basically, they were asking him, you know, how do you feel? Well, how do you think the guy feels, right? But, I mean, you could give some articulate answers where you messed up that day, give words of praise for the opponents. But at some point, he just goes, we lost. What else do you want me to say? And he gets up and walks away. You know, and that's not what it's about. It's not just that you lost. You know, in the moment, yes, you mourn your losses, you know, but before you really go cry and mourn your loss, you owe it to your general public, to your fans, to be dignified, to be a gentleman. It's part of the job, you know, and a mature, seasoned pro athlete would understand that. No matter how I'm feeling at this moment, no matter how disappointed I am, I owe my fans, I owe these people, I owe the world who's given me this opportunity and the incredible amount of money I make, you know, a gracious exit, and then I'll go cry later. And so it's just disappointing to see some of the immaturity come out in him, but I give him credit. This is how all the pros have to grow up. They all have to learn these lessons, you know, so I'm confident he'll grow up and learn how to respond better and not just, give into his emotions like this. But it does kind of give a hint that maybe perhaps I was right, that maybe it was a little ego that was carrying him through all the way. And when the ego got deflated, he had nothing else to give. And he wasn't present enough to get outside of his situation to realize what he needed to deliver for everybody else. And the encouragement, the leadership he needed to give his team, and what he needed to give back to his fans. And he'll get there. But it was obviously a sign of some immaturity there. On the opposite side of that, I want to share this with you. This was great. This I don't even know who this, this ESPN guy caught him, but he was basically on his way to the locker, and he just tracked him down to catch him. This is Von Miller, who is the voted most valuable player for the Super Bowl. It's an incredible honor, and only three other times in previous history has a defensive linebacker been given this award. Most of the time, it's the quarterback or these kind of things. But what I wanted to tell you was, in this moment where he was caught off guard and he really told the guy at the end, I really kind of want to join my teammates, and they let him go. But he came up with this quote, and it absolutely just blew me away. And really, it motivated me for doing this whole talk tonight. So hang on. Your whole reason for being here is about to add up. So catch this. Here's what he told this reporter when he asked him about, his newfound greatness. And he says, well, I try to be great because I'm surrounded by greatness. I consider it my highest contribution if I can play at a level that I inspire the great ones around me. And I loved every part of this quote that he just threw out there in a hallway on the way to the locker room. It's not an ego thing to say, I want to be great. That's not a bad thing at all. What I love, though, is he says, because I'm surrounded by great ones. I'm surrounded by greatness. So first of all, I want to stop there and say, how many of us are surrounded by any greatness in our life that calls us up to another level? That the expectation of those we hang with are greatness. And we're in their midst. We're surrounded by greatness. And it calls us to rise up. But what he says is even better. He says, because I get the privilege to be around greatness, around people who desire greatness, he goes, my highest contribution is if I can play at a level that I inspire these great ones around me, that if I can inspire them, he goes, I feel like I've accomplished my goal. I mean, what an incredible thing to do. So guys, this whole thing comes to this moment, if you've been watching, and I want to really think it's a worthwhile question to ask us. Have we done enough to surround ourselves with greatness, great people, people who operate at a high level, that we aspire to join them, we aspire to be great ourselves, but not only that, to be able to then inspire them by what we do. There is no greater treasure in this earth than to do something with excellence. It is such a deep and satisfying reward, and when it's recognized by people you respect at such a level, it's satisfying, and it's not a bad thing to want greatness. But if you're surrounded by people who also are trying to do great things in the world, what a great thing to be part of. What a great gift to the world. What a way to raise you up and to make you feel like you belong among this circle. So like last week we did the talk on beauty. Do we have enough beauty in our lives? Is really a deep need for the man's soul, and you'll have to listen to that talk. It was pretty good. If I do say so myself, right? But this is another one of those. Are we putting ourselves in a position where we have people we interact with, things we do, where everyone else is operating at a level of their own greatness, and it causes us to want to do the same thing? We need that in our lives. Find it. This is where I love what we do with the Quest Mastermind group. I'm delighted with this group. It's been the most exciting group. The way they motivate each other and stimulate each other, and every day they're active and they're interacting and they're learning and growing and challenging each other to be better. We all need this in our lives. All right, now, as promised, it wouldn't be a man's conversation about sports and football without talk about cheerleaders. So I just did some quick photo searches to find cheerleaders from the places we go and do business. So I've got cheerleaders from Ukraine, Colombia, and Thailand, just to round off the whole sports thing. So here's just some photos for your enjoyment, starting off with Ukraine. And this group here are called the Red Foxes, and they're Ukrainian cheerleading and dance team, and they go to different sporting events throughout Ukraine, but also all over Europe. And so different shots of them. They've done pose studio shots. This was great, too, and dance routines. There you go. Looking good. I'm sure you guys are going, slow down, Mark, slow down. Sorry, watch the replay. Oh, and then Columbia. All right, I'll try to slow down for you guys then. I'm going to be there next week. There you go. They'll match some of the bikini shots we got from the other groups. Colombian cheerleaders. And it's interesting, Colombia, look at all the different hair colors, too, and the different looks, too. It's really, and they're wonderful. There you go. And I went to Thailand. I said Bangkok, Thailand cheerleaders. And I actually got some cheer and dance crews here. I didn't get as many photos, but these are just adorable, you know. This is a studio shot. And again, I don't know what the events were. I just Googled, you know, Bangkok, Thailand cheerleaders. And of course, rounded off, since I didn't get as many from Thailand, I did include one from the Hooters over there. And this I love, though. So they're really big into the whole gymnastic aspect of this, you know, the dance and the competitions. It's like the things on those shows, you know, almost like an Olympic event. And but they made their own success poster, and I love that. You know, you will never know your limits unless you push yourself to them. So I love that, you know, the whole drive that goes behind that. So I was really impressed with that. So with that, there you go. You have my basic Super Bowl lessons, life lessons learned from Super Bowl 50 from dreamconnections.com. And I hope it challenged you to greatness and helped us realize we always need to be teachable and have an open attitude and really to enjoy the entire journey. Thanks for watching, and catch us on the next Tuesday. Good night.